This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's a Tuesday, December 11th. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han, and welcome back.
All right, it's great to be back. If you can tell, I may have lost or left some of my voice in the UK. I watched several Manchester United matches, ticked that off my bucket list, and I am here to recuperate and also still try to contribute as much as I can to the morning run.
Are you jet lagged?
A little bit. Mm. But hey, you know, I've seen worse, so I'll be all right. Mm. All right. So again, like we mentioned, it is December 11th. And today, the Sultan of Selangor is celebrating his 72nd birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah. His Royal Highness.
His Royal Highness Sultan Sharafuddin Idris Shah. Also coming up later today, it will be it's the first leg of the AFF Suzuki Cup final tonight. Malaysia versus Vietnam. It's going to be held in Bukit Jalil.
Yes, are you going, Han? Since coming off from your whole football fever bug that you've caught in the UK.
Yes, but unfortunately, I have to come into work
tomorrow.
That's
right. So, yeah, at 5 a.m.
Yeah, and so not really going to work out, but. Tell you what, Malaysian football team, I will be there in spirit. It is a two-legged affair, yes. Which is quite anticlimactic, though, because you want to see that one final, mm-hmm. and then whoever wins it, right? You don't have that second leg. As a football fan, I don't know, it's kind of, not quite what I'm accustomed to.
But it's quite interesting how they do the point system, though. If you're away, if you're playing away and you win away from your home ground, you win extra points as opposed to gaining a goal and your home ground.
Yeah, so the away goal. Counts for more than. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, we will be supporting the Malaysian football team.
For sure.
Yeah. So again, first leg of the AFF Suzuki Cup final that's happening tonight over there in Bukit Jalil. All right. On to something more near term. Here's what's coming up this hour, Joyce.
Well, we're going to explore the question on whether or not censorship has a place in new Malaysia, because there's news coming out that the censorship board is going to snip LGBT elements.
Mm. And Fitness has just announced a new change. We'll dive into that story later on in this hour. Also, we're going to ask the question, do politicians and wealth mix? All right? Because now we're in the midst of getting those asset declarations from Pakatan leaders or those in government right now. So, you know, the question is, what has to come first? Is this a zero-sum game? Politicians and wealth, where do you find that balance?
Yeah, also going to look on whether or not we place too much emphasis on good grades. Mm. You know, whether that's good for our kids and for ourselves as well.
Yeah, something to be in mind or to be mindful of as we head into the 2019 academic school
new
year.
School term.
That's right. Mm. And also, we're going to find out what's the best career advice that you have ever received. Look, folks, you can always be part of this conversation. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. All right, stay tuned right here to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Stevie Ray Vaughan with The House is Rockin' and the studio is kind of rocking a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, 6:09 into the morning.
Look, it's never too early to rock out, right? Yeah. Joyce Goh. That was Joyce Goh. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is The Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. We're going to keep you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. You can always WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio and be a part of the conversation. Now, let's go to some comments made by the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon. He currently, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, has a net worth of about $136 billion US dollars. Now, he says, all right, in dispensing advice to his kids, he tells his kids, you know, to be proud of your choices and not your talents, right? Now, so this morning we're going to consider what's the best career advice that you have ever received, be it from your parents or a colleague or a random man on the street, your superior, whoever it is. What's that one piece of advice that you have really held dear so far in your career?
For me, Han, is that you should enjoy what you do. Not every day, but, you know, a big chunk of your time at work should be something that you enjoy doing. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but it does help. It does help, you know, when it comes to doing your job and getting yourself to work.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially given that we spend so much of our waking lives at work, right?
Or doing work.
Right. Yeah. You know, minimum 8 hours a day, possibly more. And I dare assume that for most of us Malaysians, it's more than your good old 9 to 5, right? So it's got to be something that you enjoy. You know, I totally agree. But of course, you know, like you said, that might be oversimplified, right? Because day in, day out, you know, how do you define joy?
Yeah,
and you got to continuously redefine what joy means.
Exactly. Yeah. And some days you're like, I don't like this. You know, it's not every day you're like loving your job. And sometimes people say, oh, you got to pursue your passion. I remember I was just graduated and someone said, oh, you've got to pursue your passion. I'm like, what's this person talking about? Yeah, easy for you to say. You're already there.
Right.
You know, I was still trying to figure out what I like, you know, and all that. And I think Jeff Bezos actually said that it's okay to change your mind about passion. That's okay too. I found that quite interesting because sometimes you are so fixated on, oh, I enjoy this job, and you think that it's a forever thing. But actually, he's saying, no, that's okay. You can change what you like to do.
Right. You know, because of the ever-changing landscape, not just in the career field, but also, you know, what's happening out there in the economy, you might find these new pursuits or passions that you enjoy. You know, like myself, you know, until I dived into this world of business reporting, I had no idea what GDP even meant, you know, some 4 or 5 years ago. Literally had no idea. And then I made that switch, and now I'm absolutely passionate about it. And then by next year, I'll be looking at capital markets alone in my new gig. So yeah, that constant redefining of passion, right? I think that's very important.
What is the best advice that you've received, huh?
All right. So early on in my transition towards this world of business news, right? I remember interviewing the country manager for one of these big, big Wall Street banks here in Malaysia. Okay.
Okay.
The advice that he gave that stuck with me all these years is never be too close to the subject matter. All right. So, you know, I think it's really helped me because, you know, very often, especially here in Malaysia, we see these problems, you know, be it 1MDB or, you know, something in your personal work life and all that. And it's, I guess, always good to take a step back and put it into proper context and see the broader picture here. Right. And I think I've sought to, you know, try to make sure that I manifest that kind of, you know, mentality in my everyday workforce. You know, I mean, work life, you know, be it being bogged down with this one particular project, it's just good to take a breather and just take a step back and look at a broader picture. And then it's like, you know, that problem may not be so big. I shouldn't have used 1MDB, but only because I was interviewing him about 1MDB. Yeah, so so he made that comment there. And it's just always stuck with me, right? So, you know, be it any crisis that you may face in your life, you know, yeah, it's always good to have proper context.
Also for me, I guess, but this is more specific to the industry that I am in. I remember getting this piece of advice from a mentor that, you know, if you want to be a journalist, it's good for you to always go down to the ground. I know it's very traditional, it's very old school, they're saying, but it's good because they feel that that's an effective way to get the story, to really find out what's happening. You can't just be like an armchair critic. Or like just stay in the office and say, oh, you know, I think this, like you write an opinion piece, and you need to just go down, meet people, try and talk to a lot of people and try to find out, get both sides of the story. I think that was really helpful to me when I started off my career in journalism.
Right. So you can be part of this conversation. Tell us, what is the best career advice you have ever received? Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll talk about good grades and how much emphasis should we place on them, and especially when trying to ascertain someone's perceived success in life or career. Stay tuned. This is The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Franz Ferdinand with Treason Animals. This is The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh, taking you all the way up till 10 a.m. this morning. Folks, you can always be part of this conversation. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Thank you so much, and good morning to Stephen Chalua, who WhatsApped in, wishing us a good morning.
Good
and
morning.
Then earlier, Joyce, we were talking about about, you know, what is the best piece of career advice that we have received. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I was a country manager of a Wall Street bank here in, or a Wall Street bank and a country manager here in Malaysia, telling me, like, look, you know, take a step back, never be too close to the problem. And yours again was the best piece of career advice?
Was to enjoy what you do. But then again, there'll be downtimes. There'll be times when you don't enjoy your work, and that's okay. And as well as for, but this is very specific to journalists, was to go down to the ground and don't be an armchair critic.
Right. And Stephen Chulua WhatsApped in saying that the best piece of career advice that he has ever received is, build on what you have and you'll get there. All right. So always looking at perhaps each opportunity as a stepping stone or a formulative experience that you can build on. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that will get you to greater heights. Great stuff there. Again, you can always be part of this conversation via WhatsApp, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. All right, time now to consider, what does an A grade really mean? So we're looking at this opinion piece in the New York Times by Dr. Adam Grant. He's an organizational psychologist and also used to teach at Wharton. And he talks about how, you know, his students, can't really tell if it's current or former students, but, you know, they used to obsess over this A, right? That A grade. And here we are in the school holidays. Joyce, you got two kids. Mm-hmm. I guess, fortunately for the world.
On the way?
Fortunately for the world. Not yet.
Getting there?
Yeah, not yet biologically reproductive. You know, but it's something to take stock of, right? As we head into the 2019 academic year, right? I mean, how important is an A?
Yeah, it's also the whole culture of perfectionism, I think, right now. And also, whether is it Asian culture where, is you know, that whole Asian culture parenting where B is not good enough, whereas your A, and even if you get an A, it's not good enough. You know, 90-something marks is still not good enough. You should have gotten 100. Yeah, it could be along those lines, but it is quite scary to put that all your hopes on just that A. I think there's been a lot of research and also just experience when you speak to a lot of employees and all that, and they say that a lot of straight A students, not all of them, make the best employees because they just, I don't know, maybe is it because too studious or whether or not they are street smart. Being book smart doesn't equate to being street smart.
Right. Now, let me just read one line in this opinion piece. Again, it's in the New York Times, okay? And I quote, "Academic grades rarely assess qualities like creativity, leadership, and teamwork skills, or social, emotional, and political intelligence." It basically says, not like what you said, Joyce, and A merely shows that you're book smart, and then all the other soft skills, that is not reflected in an A, right? Now, at the same time, as a part-time educator myself, you know, it's this constant balance. Look, at the end of the day, unfortunately, the education system, the formal education system, is set up whereby they got to, they got to have this gatekeeping of sorts, right? And how do they kind of separate those who are qualified, and I'm using air quotes there, versus those who are not qualified, unfortunately, is via that A ranking system, right? So it's important, that piece of paper is important to get you into that door, right? Just to get you into that institution or get you into that program. Then after that, you know, that's it. Then you've got to prove yourselves all over again, right? Now, that's not saying that the A is an be all end all. I don't think anyone is under that illusion. But it's important just to get you into that door.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you know, and so once you're into that organization or that workplace, then you got to show, again, your creativity, leadership, teamwork skills, social, emotional, and political intelligence, all the other skills that are not captured in that A.
Yeah, I guess just to be more holistic, and do you think maybe schools should look at or re-look at how they are, what they're teaching kids today? Be it looking at syllabus, is it just books, like the reading, or should it be applicable? Should it be assignment-based as well? Should it be, you know, more stuff that they can learn, they can apply to the working world, as opposed to just reading and making sure that, oh, I have to make the grade for science or math. You know, that's very important. That's very applicable to life. But also learn other life skills, other working skills, which you may not be able to get from the books, but you have to learn through assignments, through internship, you know, all these things.
And this is where it gets tricky, right? Because you've got the quantitative elements, and then you've got the these qualitative elements, you know, creativity. So, you know, I'm not one for, you know, teaching creativity through a formal syllabus, through a formal curriculum. I don't think that that's the way to go, because at the end of the day, you know, you may be the most creative, you might be a good leader, but there's got to be some KPIs as well, some measurable, tangible outputs as well, right? So, you know, I think it's got to be a balance of everything. So again, you can, you know, weigh in. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. What's in an A? All right, and we're coming up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin, and we've got Sabrina Magdalene poised at the mic. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned into The Morning Run. That was Steve Winwood with Back in the Life Again. I am back to life right now because I had a long break. And
you're back to reality.
Yeah, back to back to the real life. Yeah, you know, I'm Tan Cheng Han. With me, Joyce Goh. We're gonna keep you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning, and you can be part of this conversation all morning long. Our WhatsApp number 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So we've covered several topics already since 6 a.m. this morning, Joyce. Now let's talk about whether politicians and wealth, you know, how do they mix? Okay, because now we are, there's attention being placed on the asset declarations by the current cabinet and also the ministers from Pakatan right now. And there's some rather intriguing comments from some ministers.
Yeah, so the minister in Prime Minister's department, Weda Muthi, claimed that, you know, he has spent all his income to fight for the welfare of an impoverished Indian community, and, you know, he doesn't have assets to declare. Also, there's this other minister that we have, the Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister, Datuk Mohamadin Ketapi, reiterated that he has no assets to declare to the MSCC because he says that he's a poor man, you know, without any assets, and his income was just his monthly salary as a minister. So, you know, is there a misconception, Han, you know, that all politicians are wealthy?
Well, I don't think so, right? Now, I don't think that being in politics requires the prerequisite of you being wealthy, right? Because...
Or after getting into politics, you suddenly become wealthy.
Yeah, no, I don't think that should be the case, especially in this Malaysia Baru. Now, that may have been the status quo, right, in Malaysia Lama, but for Malaysia Baru, that should not be the case, right? But at the same time, you know, when you've got these kind of comments from current ministers saying that, oh, you know, I don't need to declare because of X, Y, and Z reason. I don't know if I buy that either, right? Because it can be something as simple as just showing your bank statement.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure you live somewhere, you've got a house, I would think, right? So then that's all, right? If you truly are poor, then show us, well, declare your assets, whatever you have, and then show how poor you are. But ultimately, you know, it's not so much about how wealthy or how poor you are. It's about transparency, right? That is the ultimate goal.
And follow the promise of that all MPs have to declare your assets. Yeah, it's just, I'm not saying that the misconception is just in Malaysia, though, that all politicians are wealthy. It could be beyond Malaysia. But we can see that there are stories of how politicians, they're not that rich. You know, for example, in the US, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was the youngest woman to be elected into US Congress, and she did not have money to afford renting an apartment in Washington, D.C. And she actually shared that she had to wait for her salary before she can rent a room in D.C.
Right. No, but I think ultimately it's also that line between, you know, again, wealth versus politics, right? Because fine, if you are a wealthier individual, then you are perceived to have more clout, right? Be it in the business community or, you know, over there in society, then that lends itself to more popular votes, right? So you can see why those who are wealthy, relatively speaking, like the good old Donald Trumps and what have you, right? You know, who then use that platform and then use it as a launch pad into politics. Now, I recall in the lead up to the 2016 presidential elections, much was made about how, well, lobbyists don't have anything on Donald Trump. Why? Because he's financing his own campaign. At least that was the narrative out there, right? So I can see the value of a wealthy individual then going to politics. But then the optics then gets a bit blurred, right? Because then they've got vested interests, you know, businesses and what have you. So could policies then be skewed to serve those vested interests?
Yeah, and whether or not, you know, money makes the person a better politician. You know, yeah, they have clout, they have money to spend, but will they have the people's mind, hearts at our welfare at their hearts, you know, whether or not they are really a good politician, be it to drive something for the people on the ground.
Right.
That's also, and as you say, there might be something behind why they're running for that politician, that seat for
right.
particular, for their own interest, be it for their business interest or for their own particular wealth reasons.
Right.
Who knows?
Right. Well, I'd rather use the word policymaker, though, whether or not the wealthy individual will become a better policymaker more so than a politician.
You know, okay.
Let's face it.
Set policies for the people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, because that word politician has, at least in my mind, a negative connotation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, whether they'll become a better policymaker,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, as opposed to, again, on the flip side, if someone who is lacking financially then goes into politics, then the opportunities for to achieve wealth then, right, it could become too tempting, right?
That's why sometimes
Singapore,
you have
yeah.
to pay your MPs well
right.
to minimize that temptation.
So once again, it's that whole balance, right?
Yeah.
So you let us know, 018-789-8899. Again, that's our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Politics or politicians and wealth, right? Where do they meet? Let us know. We'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. Jackson 5 there with I'll Be There, right here on BFM 89.9. Look, if you are not swaying to that song, you, my friend, are not living life. I mean, how can you not move to such a great hit right there, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was yeah. good. It was a good song. Good song choice.
Well, because Joyce was swaying in the studio as well a little bit. Yeah, so big shout out to our producer, Roshan, there, who picked that song, again, by the Jackson 5. Folks, you can always be part of this conversation. Our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. Our Twitter handle, at BFM Radio. All right, Joyce, we have covered quite a few topics already since the show kicked off this morning at 6 a.m. And we've got several WhatsApps and tweets to go through. Let's start with the latest story that we spoke about. Again, you know, we asked the question, where do politicians and wealth meet, right? Should politicians be wealthy, perhaps to avoid the temptation of, pursuing even more wealth or shaping policies to serve their vested business interests? Or should politicians perhaps eschew wealth and then go in kind of with a clean slate, so to speak? But then we spoke about the temptation, the possible temptation,
yeah.
right, of abusing their position and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Ro weighing in, saying that a declaration of assets is a show of faith, as much a transparency exercise. I too have nothing to declare but my genius. And he quotes Oscar Wilde there. That was Ro. And then we've got Mohan, who saying that Kula, the human resources minister, has to declare no exception, period. And that's a WhatsApp from Mohan.
Yeah, also we were discussing what's the best career advice you've received. This comes out from this article on CNBC about how Amazon's Jeff Bezos gave some career advice to his kids, and among them it's be proud of your choices, not your talents. And we have Chip tweeting in saying, just make your mother happy, everything else will fall into place.
All right,
that's
great stuff.
Great advice.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, and I must say this though, because when I moved into being on camera and also on air here at BFM Radio, you know, my mom would do the whole thing, right? You know, when she meets people, say, oh, my son now on this TV channel or on BFM 89.9, right? So she loves that kind of stuff. But with my new gig, I don't know, you know, if she will actually understand what I'll be doing.
Big time, okay?
Yeah,
who knows, right? She'll say, well, a mom will always be proud of their kids,
aww.
Be it whatever they do.
All right. That's Joyce Goh, the mother of two right there. Also, we've got some messages coming in about the best piece of career advice. We've got Darth Vadai. Not from the Star Wars universe, I don't think. But Darth Vadai says, one of the best advice I received, at least in his mind, is your company loves you as long as they need you. So perhaps just know that it's a work relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's perhaps transactional, right? But then beyond that, I mean, just make sure there are limits, there are boundaries, right?
Pragmatic advice. Mm. We also have Johan WhatsApping in saying, just Google the CEO of top IT companies. There are Asians there, but no A-grade Chinese. So what's missing? I'm Chinese. Who's against the tiger mom culture?
So this is the story that we were discussing earlier this morning about what's in an A-grade, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. again, we are in the school holidays now. Time to take stock ahead of the upcoming academic year, which is just a mere 2-3 weeks away.
Yeah, soon.
Right. And so like, what's in an A? There's an opinion piece in the New York Times that written by an organizational behaviorist, I believe, who then talks about, you know, how when he taught in Wharton, many of his students, you know, came to him feeling tremendously pressured by chasing that A or that A plus, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't account for the softer skills, creativity, leadership, political nuances, emotional intelligence, et cetera. So that was the comment by Johan on that topic. Then also you've got Mr. Tan weighing in, saying that here in Malaysia, A's only means hours of memorizing, zero thinking. That's all, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why I think it's good for teachers and for us to change the way we teach and look at the syllabus. I think that's important.
Right. Yeah. Now, we've also got other tweets, I believe. We just got one that just came in from @Iqbalab. I totally messed that up. I'm sorry. But anyways, so weighing
Iqbal
in...
Iqbal Abdullah.
Yeah, Iqbal Abdullah. Mm-hmm. All right, yes. I was reading the Twitter handle. They're talking about, again, the assumption that all politicians are corrupt. I'm not sure if it's a misconception, though. And then you've got Oliver Howard tweeting in that some politicians do it, as in the asset declaration, for good reasons.
Mm-hmm. Some don't.
But, you know, whether or not that reason can hold water, at least in the public's perception, right? Or should they just all, no excuses, declare?
Whether or not you have assets or not.
Yeah, whether you're poor or not, just declare. Mm-hmm. All right, you can always be part of this conversation, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with more, but first we've got the 7 a.m. News Bulletin with Sabrina Magdalene right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.